Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, a week or two ago, we introduced you to the recent recipient of the SUNY Upstate Distinguished Alumnus Award for 2008, a gentleman and pediatric cardiologist, Dr. Welton Gersony. Well, you may remember we chatted for a few minutes by phone about his Syracuse roots and his road to New York City, where he practices at Columbia University and Cornell University. Our time was short, so we had to cut our discussion short, but it did work out because this morning we have not only Dr. Gersony in the studio with us, but we're joined too by two of his best friends from when they all grew up here in Syracuse. So let's say good morning and welcome back to Dr. Gersony.
It's a pleasure to be back again for an encore performance. I enjoyed our last visit.
You're becoming a regular, aren't you?
And I brought support.
Yes, you did. Well, listeners, let me introduce you very briefly to Dr. Willard Cohen, a name that may sound familiar to many of you. Good morning and welcome, Dr. Cohen.
Thank you. Good morning.
We're glad to have you here. You were at Krauss for many years.
That's correct.
You were. And so people would recognize your name from there.
I ran the intensive care unit and the coronary unit for about 15 years, so there's a lot of patient traffic.
A lot of people coming through. And Dr. Albert Frankel, who's visiting from New Jersey, good morning and welcome to you also.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here and refresh connections with maybe a few older people that still remember me in Syracuse.
I think there are probably more than a few. Now, you're in New Jersey. You're still practicing?
I'm retired, but I practiced until 2002. And prior to that, I was at Robert Wood Johnson Medical School, New Jersey. And prior to that, I was at Mount Sinai Hospital and Medical School
Fabulous.
In New York City.
Well, you all three have had very distinguished careers. And in a minute, I want to cover part of what those careers were. Except the first thing I want to ask you is, has anything changed in Syracuse since you were students here? That's a loaded question, isn't it? Dr.
Yes,
Gersony?
Well, first I might mention why this is a unique threesome. We all started together in the third grade at Charles Andrews.
At Charles Andrews School, which
elementary is... elementary school at that time, now a senior facility.
It is, and it's over
We're wondering whether we should go back there soon in order to have the full circle. But and we all, almost from the beginning in the third grade, decided we wanted to be physicians.
You
and
did.
How often would it happen as we went through Charles Andrews, Nottingham High School, Syracuse University, and then the medical school that we all... fulfilled that wish, stayed friends all these years, and here we are together again. It's really a unique story.
It really is a unique story, and it's a fun one to talk about. Dr. Cohen, all these years you've been practicing in Syracuse, although I do understand you were in a few other places in the interim, right?
Well, I was in the Army for a while. I was in New York City for a year as an intern, and then I came back to Syracuse and finished all my training, and it was in private practice for 10 or 11 years, and then the Joint Commission on Accreditation said to Krauss Memorial that they needed to have a full-time director of the ICU and CCU. So I closed my practice, and except for a half day a week, and ran the intensive care unit and the coronary care unit at Krauss Memorial Hospital.
I have a feeling for a lot of those patients, your face would be a lot more familiar than your name, wouldn't it, if they went through that quickly. And Dr. Frankel, you went to New Jersey, but you also went to another number of other places before you got there.
Yes, I left here and I went to Mount Sinai Hospital in New York for further training and residency training. And I had quite an experience there. I learned a lot and met my beautiful wife and married her while I was there. And then went into the service, came back to Mount Sinai, was on the faculty teaching. It became a medical school while I was there, but it was always a teaching hospital. And then later on, when I left Mount Sinai, I went to New Jersey. I served as a chief of surgery at a teaching hospital in Plainfield. And later on, I joined the faculty at the medical school in New Brunswick. That's Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital.
Well, and that's actually one of the things I find fascinating is all three of you gentlemen, not only did you become doctors together, but you've also all been affiliated with the teaching of new doctors through academic medical centers. And what that tells me then is that the reach of Upstate and what people may or may not appreciate about the kinds of services they can get here in Syracuse, New York, and the kinds of experience that the doctors have you then go out and teach doctors in other places, and they're now around the world. Dr. Gersony, you were telling me some of your students are in other places in the world.
Yes, we've trained over 100 fellows, we call them, when mm-hmm. they're in their advanced training in pediatric cardiology, and they're scattered around the United States and around the world, leading programs. And of course, many of them are still with us. We have a lot. We continue to have a large service.
And you're talking about in New York and at Cornell and Columbia.
At Columbia, predominantly.
Uh-huh.
And there's about 1,500 board-certified pediatric cardiologists, and we trained about 120 of them.
Wow.
Which is really quite remarkable.
It's almost 10%
but
of them right there.
Almost. It's wow. a small field.
That is fabulous.
But there's an impact of our. It's not just me alone. I've, of course, so many other people who are outstanding teachers, and we're quite proud of that.
And it's not just them. It's all the lives that you've saved because you knew about small children and cardiology. One of the themes on the radio show is when we talk about children are not just small adults, and you therefore have to tailor the care they receive based on the fact that they have different bodies and their systems work differently.
That's an excellent point, because children's heart disease and adult heart disease is very different. Mm-hmm. Children's heart disease is essentially congenital. You're born with it. Mm-hmm. Whereas most of adult cardiology is acquired heart disease due to coronary disease and valve disease. So they're very, very different specialties.
And in some ways, what you're doing is helping those children grow up to be the adults. And then, you know,
That's right.
What you've done for them is to keep them alive for all of those years.
And that brings up another point, that there aren't enough cardiologists who do adult work who understand congenital heart disease, which is what I do. In the past, it didn't matter because those children often, if they were severe, never survived.
Mm-hmm.
But now they are. And there's a great need for adult cardiologists to be trained in this arena.
Fabulous. Dr. Cohen, you were also teaching.
Yes, it's kind of interesting. After I closed my practice and went to work for Krauss, which I thought would be kind of a patient care phenomenon, turned out to be a patient care and a nearly full-time teaching of residents and fellows in cardiology and medicine. And I have an older friend who's in his middle 80s who did a lot of teaching, and we would get together and he'd say, you know, the two of us have taught for decades, but none of us have ever taken a course in how to teach.
So
it's kind of a learn by the seat of your pants.
Sure, sure. But on the other hand, you have all of those residents who are learning. It's on-the-job training, in effect.
That's
right.
True.
And no matter how many teaching classes you would take, you would not be able to present them with as many circumstances as they would on the job.
Good teachers are really born, not taught.
Ah, I love that.
It's a big part of it.
I love that.
It's just the natural feeling you have to get across information.
I love that because my first career, I was a teacher. So, Dr. Frankel, you too have been teaching.
I've always been teaching. Mm-hmm. I've always been in a teaching institution, and I love it. I still love it. I love to be taught as well as to teach others.
Uh-huh.
And as I progressed through my career, at first I was teaching a lot in the operating room because I am a surgeon, having the students and the residents present, and then teaching some of the didactic material. As I got older, I did more and more in teaching medical students
mm-hmm.
The principles behind surgery and the diseases that require surgery, or the diseases you shouldn't have surgery for.
There you go. Now, let me ask you a question.
Albert had an excellent point there, I think.
Okay.
In terms of the teacher being a student.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not a student yourself and constantly learning, your ability to teach goes away.
You know, those are so profound. We don't have nearly enough time to cover them, but you're absolutely right. I think that the best teachers are also the best learners and vice versa. I think that if you can share that information, but you have to be willing to listen too. But I wanted to ask Dr. Frankel, one of the questions I have about surgery is in the old days, I don't want to say how many years ago that was, quite often the doctor and surgeon were one person. Am I right? If you needed a surgery, it might have been your general practitioner who performed it.
Well, I don't go back quite that far, but you are correct. There was a time when that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
And as I moved around to various institutions, I did run into people who had never had a formal residency training and were sort of learned from a preceptorship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they did a good job in their time, but our time now is so complex. There's so much to know. such a wide breadth of understanding required. We can't do that anymore.
No, we can't. And so many people have specialized, and that's certainly been a blessing in that people get that specialized care. But there have been also some problems with it. And, you know, that actually makes me realize that we have a whole other conversation that I'd like to have with you about how medicine has changed. But we're running out of time for this segment. If you could stay for a few minutes, would you be able to have that conversation with me?
We'd be happy to.
Very good. Okay, so listeners, we do need to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.